You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
Well, thank you so much. If you noticed in that picture, I was a little thinner than I am now. I may have ate that person in that picture right there. Anyways, I can't sing as well as they can. I tell you, one thing I learned from you is you sang, we're singing here. I think sometimes we think in our mindset the music stops, that worship stops, the praise stops when they walk off. And that's a lesson I just learned is, you know what, it continues. And so thank you. You did a tremendous job this morning. That was really awesome. You wonder why I came in with a rope today. I need two volunteers. Preferably age, let's say 10 or below. I don't care, just come up here. We're good. How old are you? 9. Wow, she's as tall as I am. All right. Let's take this rope and extend it. No knots from end to end. And when you get to the end, with the, I want the red side back. Is that a deal? So there's one end. And there's a red end in here somewhere. Can y'all do that? Now just stretch it out. Make it straight. No knots. All right. And as they're doing that, Pastor Rich told me that they've installed a new thing here. And I don't know where it's at. But there's a trapdoor somewhere that if it's bad, I'm going to drop. And so I got a rope, a long rope, because I don't know how far the hole is. But anyways, we're going to be talking about this rope this morning and really trying to look into it. Man, that's good. We're good. We're almost done. Just keep going out. There's walls. It's okay. Why don't you bring me the red end now? All right. But I've got two verses that I'm going to read this morning. And believe it or not, we're going to talk about this rope. But two of the verses really, I think, teach me a lot of things about life. And over the last couple of years, I've had several losses, if you will, in our family. And one of the hardest ones, I think, one of my grandmothers passed away this last year, and I was asked to do the funeral. And it's one of those things you never want to do one of a family member, but especially someone who's meant something to you for a long, significant part of time. And so you spend a lot of time in that recall of going, What can I learn about my grandmother? What can I share with people about my grandmother that they don't already know? And really through that process, God really started showing me things and revealing things to me. At a funeral time, we share people's lives. We share a legacy. We share the good, sometimes the bad, and never the ugly, right? But what I realized through that process is this, is God's given us this dash, that story from here's my birth year to here's the year he takes me home. He's given me a story. And so it's just that little bitty dash in between two dates, right? And so as I was going through this and thinking about these things, these two verses really came to mind to answer the simple question of this is, what am I living for? I think that's a valid question that every single one of us through our entire lives are asking ourselves and seeking for that answer from God and from other people, and maybe validation from other people, is why? What does my life matter? What do I live this life for that really at the end of it is going to make a difference? Right? And some people go, well, I work this, in many people's minds, a minuscule job, so it really doesn't matter. But what am I doing with the place that God has placed me? It may not really be minuscule. It may be the mission field God's called you to be his hands, to be his feet to people who need you. And that's part of your dash. It's part of your story. But these two verses really came to mind, and we're going to kind of run with these this morning. The first one being this, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, where the Bible says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners, but only one, receives the prize. So run that you may obtain it. Right? We're all in a race. And we need to run that we may obtain it. Philippians 3, verse 12 through 14, talk about a similar thing. It says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. And this is Paul talking to the Philippians church, and he's telling the people, hey, here's the reality, guys. In many of your minds, you're exalting me because of the message that I bring. And we can look at the majority of the New Testament. We know this side of it because we hold a Bible in our hand that Paul's life was significant, right? And we go, probably one of the greatest Christians that there were was the Apostle Paul, by sheerly the amount of his books and his writings that are in the Bible. But yet, what does he tell us? Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. So if he hasn't reached the mark, if he hasn't reached perfection, what then does he do? He says, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his. If you're one who likes to highlight in your Bible, to underline in your Bible, do certain things like this, this is a promise that you need to have. If you are God's child, if you've received him as your Lord and Savior, this is something, honestly, in my life, honestly, that overwhelms me so many days. Doesn't matter how good the day is, doesn't matter how bad the day is, doesn't matter the trial I go through, doesn't matter the tribulation in life of, man, I may be a failure, I may have missed the mark so many times, but here's a truth that I cannot be robbed from, and it allows me to get up, dust myself off, and keep moving forward. He says, I do not consider that I have made it my own. Oh, right above that. It says, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Guys, here's a beautiful truth that God has given us in his Bible to say, I am his. I love the label testimony, 3-minute testimony that she shared this morning. Actually, I've had messages rolling in my heads from you guys, from the music, from this. I'm just like, ooh, I could write a message about that. Man, God's speaking to me about this and this and this and this. Holy cow, where do we go? And it's welcome to my head. So I just started seeing these things. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter what the world labels you as, or maybe even as sometimes what we label ourselves as. What matters is that I'm his. And nobody can take that from me. I am his. The Bible says no principality, no power, no thing above, nothing below can remove me from his hands. I was bought and paid for by the blood that was shed on the cross. I'm his. We can take that this morning. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I can just stop and preach this whole thing and not even get to my message. Here's the reality, guys. What tears us up? What pulls us down? What honestly defeats most of our lives on a day-to-day basis? The past. All right? Regret. Failure. All these weights that come. But he says, what do? I got to forget all these things that lie behind. They're gone. If I want to get really technical, guess what? The beauty of what took place on the cross is all of my past sins, gone. Gone. My sins right now, gone. And what's awesome, you know what I'm about to commit? Gone. Where does guilt come from? It's not from him. Where does regret come from? Not from him. We gain all these things. We got to put them behind us because Jesus says he's already forgiven them. He's wiped that slate clean. And it says, but I'm straining forward to what lies ahead. Verse 14, I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says, you know what the call is to go simply be Jesus. That's it. That's it. And let's pray, and then we're going to dive into this. God, I thank you for an opportunity always to just be able to take your word and share it with people. God, I thank you for this amazing church. Lord, I thank you for the part of ministry that they have with us. God, as we continue to see souls reached for the gospel, God, that they're a part of that. So God, I pray today that you just truly, whether you step me aside, that you show up, that your Holy Spirit would have freedom to move in our midst, that we would dethrone ourselves this morning and put you back where you belong. Because God, when you're there, you speak truth to us. We can receive it. We can understand it, Lord, and we can walk in that truth. And that's what we want today. We want to come in today. We want to leave changed because we've met with you. And so that's what we ask. And we ask it in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. So you're like, where are you going with the rope? right? We stretched this thing out. We talked about it for a few. So what do we do with this rope? And here's the reality. You've got this long rope stretching from here to there. This room didn't even hold the width of this rope. It's only, I think, 50 feet, but we're going to play with it. Here's the thing. We've been given a dash, right? We've been given a journey. God says, I've placed you on this planet for a reason. We talked about philosophy in Bible study this morning, which was beautiful. It was really awesome. And my mind was running in there going, oh, we could do that. I could. Oh, man, my head was going all over the place because it was just awesome to look at that. But what I want us to do this morning is to really focus at this. We've got this long rope here, but yet we've got this little tiny red piece right here, right? We all see the red piece? And here's the reality, guys. This is your life, right? Our life, God says, is eternal, correct? But he's placed us on this earth for a reason. And so our journey in life is really about this long. The Bible says our life is but a vapor. It appears for a while, and then it vanishes away. It's gone. It is really a blink. And I don't know about you. I know when I was young, my parents go, man, the older I get, things are just, man, time flies. It's going by. And I was going, as a kid, I'm like, dude, Christmas won't get here soon enough, right? And parents are going, dude, it's already Christmas, right? And I know the older I keep getting, time literally just flies by. The truth is, we are learning so many things. We're taking so many things in at a younger age. We're still trying to figure out who we are, what we're going to be, what this world is, what all these things are made of. We're trying to figure all things out. But yet as adults, we kind of figure we have figured these things out. So we got this thing. We're going to keep running with this thing. And time flies. And before you know it, your kids are in college. And almost all of them graduated, right, Pastor Rich? They're almost all done with college. They're out of your home. They're gone. Yes. Quick. Yes. Woo. Our life's short. And a lot of us spend a lot of our lives, honestly, let's look at this thing. Here's birth here. Here's death here. And the rest of this, guys, is eternity, right? A lot of us, you know, because you see on television all the time, they tell you, you know, you need to save, you need to save, you need to save, you need to save, you need to save. You hear this word retirement. From what the Bible tells me, retirement means with him. I don't know about you, but that's for me. But not that retirement's a bad thing, but it says live, 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 and invest, 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 invest for this part of your life right here, right? That makes a total logical sense, does it not? Yeah, so I'm going to live all of my 60, 70, 80 years, whatever the Lord gives me, for this little tiny piece right here. Makes total sense, right? Or do I live for all of it? See, because when I was a pastor, I said these things, and God really taught me and walked with me in this. As we looked at the younger people in our church, we say, that's the future. They're the right now. Our kids right now. We need to invest them right now. We need to listen to them right now. Here's the reality, because if we sit and wait around as to how we're going to reach people 10, 15, 20 years down the road as they get older, we've already missed it because we haven't listened to them coming up. Why have we missed past generations? Because we haven't valued them then. We want to wait till they grow up and collect all the same problems that we had, and we're never going to find the solution if we don't say you have value now. God has given us all this short years here. And the truth is, we're going to spend somewhere eternally. And so we struggle and we strive and we fight so hard for this little red piece. When the Bible clearly tells me that this little red piece determines how I spend the rest of this. Right? And so what the world teaches us and what we buy in hook, line, and sinker is this, is it matters what I have here. Right? How much can I have? Do I have the right this? Do I have the right that? Christmas is upon us, so the season is here of greed. I mean, giving. Wrong G word. What Christmas has become, I think, in our world is this. It all becomes about a tree, right? How beautiful you can decorate your tree, the right One thing we've done in my family forever is you have a yearly ornament. So each kid has their own ornament for that year. And so you build it up, and it's really kind of cool, the phases of life they go through, of things that excited them when they were younger. We have a NASCAR ornament on my tree. I'm like, NASCAR? If you're a NASCAR person, I'm sorry, but I'm not. And I'm like, I don't know where you got that, but that's really awesome. So we're decorating the tree and a lot of things, you know. Then the gifts go under the tree, and really during this season, our Christmas tree becomes the center of the house, right? It becomes the ornate, beautiful thing that we have in the center of our house. Now, if you have a Christmas tree, because I do in my house, and I decorate it, and it's pretty, and so I say all of these things, but just hear me out. I think a lot of times we take this holiday and we make it about a tree and the things under the tree, and we forget about another tree. Right? Of that perfect gift that was given, so that when I take this little bitty life and enjoy all the beautiful things that God has allowed me to enjoy, I've got to remember that other tree, because it makes the difference for the rest of this. Right? Because if I'm only living for the life that I have here, what happens when it's gone? There's going to be a lot of disappointment. I still remember there was a time when I was in seminary and I worked in a delivery business, and so I was in talking with this lady, and I just really felt burdened to share the gospel with her on a regular basis, and I really tried to do it with my life just for a long time. And she's like, hey, you know, want to go party, this and that? I'm like, well, I've got a wife and kids. That's really kind of awkward to go party with you. So probably not a great idea. So tell me a little bit about yourself. Well, I'm going to seminary over here, so that's even another reason that would be a really bad idea. So as we're talking through all of these things, she learned about my faith. She learned about what I told her. And she said, you know what? Here's the thing. You know what? I don't know why you get caught up in all those things, because you miss out on all these fun things. And she said, you know, I don't believe, you know, what your message is and this or that. And I said, you know what? Here's the thing. You kind of feel that I'm missing out on the joys of life. And I'm just going to share something with you. And I'm going to leave you, and I want you to think about this. Because here's the thing. You tell me my story, and what I share with you and what God has done for me is really fake and it's false. And really, it's just allowed me to set up things to rob me from joy in my life. But here's the thing. If I live my entire life doing what I feel is right and end up and there's no God, here's the thing. I still had a great life. No regrets. Things have been some amazing opportunities that God has laid out before us. And here's the thing. At the end of my life, He doesn't exist. It's still been a good life. I said, but now there poses a negative side to that story is this. What if I've lived my whole life, you've lived your whole life, and I'm right? Where does that leave you? And I told her, I said, I want you to think about that. I want you to walk around and spend this weekend. That was on a Friday, actually, that I shared it with her. I said, I want you to spend this weekend truly thinking about that thought. And I want to revisit that Monday. And reality, I never came to the point to where I know if she got saved or not, but her questions changed. And God allowed me to realize, you know what? This matters because of everything that follows it. The Bible's very clear. Guess what? Your journey, which I promise you, we can go to every single one of you in this room, and your journey's been different. There may be similarities of situations, but all of your journey's different. You're on that journey for a reason, for God to use you to be His hands, His feet, where you are, and to tell your story. Because I've heard too many people tell me, you know what, Pastor Corey, I could never tell somebody about Jesus Christ. I just don't know the Bible well enough. I couldn't share those verses. I said, you know what? Tell me about the time you got saved. Tell me about what Jesus did for you. Tell me all these exciting things, because I know they've happened. And to hear them start telling their story, man, well, God did this, and He did this, and He did this. I mean, it's just so awesome, because I know how awful I was, and then He came into my life, and He radically changed my life. And man, I'm so thankful. And I said, you know what? That's all you ever have to tell somebody. It doesn't have to be quoted with book, chapter, and verse. Share the truth that Jesus changed your life from where it was, and it's not there anymore, and it never will go back to where it was before. We all have a story, and use it to affect those people around you. But what Paul says is that I'm going to live my life for this mission. Paul says, hey, this race has been given to me, and so I'm going to enter it. I haven't mastered the race, but you know what? I know there's an end to this race, and so I'm going to press towards that goal. I'm going to keep running so that I may obtain what's on the other side of that, right? And so while I'm sitting here and thinking this morning, and it's really funny because Pastor Fred came and asked me this morning, said, okay, so when you're talking about a dash, are we talking about like a run, a race thing? Are we talking about like a dash, like in like death, birth, death? I said, yes. It's kind of both. And so my mind started running, well, how can I tie this into a race? And here's the thing. You know, when we look at this race that God has called us to, and I can view back to my days when I was pastoring, the truth is this. Guess what? In all races, there are typically several different types of people. In long-distance running, which I did run long-distance through school, I know you're like, I'm checking you out now, dude. That didn't happen. Again, I probably ate that person who was running then, but I did. I was a long distance runner. I really enjoyed it. One of the things I found out, depending on the distance of race that you're in, we put people in races called rabbits. Anybody heard that term before? If you've ever watched the Olympics, it's the guy that goes in and like is half a track in front of everybody. You're like, this dude doesn't know that this thing like runs 4,700 laps, right? Because he's running at a full sprint. And starting to pass people, and there's no way he can hold that pace. And they're put into place to really push the entire group forward. But the purpose of a rabbit is never to last. Now, correlate that to a church, right? One of the things that I found in a church is, guess what? As I was pastoring, man, when I got started, I had people that were right beside me, and we followed along this journey. We knew where the goal was. We knew where the prize was. Keep trying to tell people who Jesus was and invest in the lost and try to say, man, God loves you where you are, and all of these things. And, man, they were there. Point, and they ran. They took off. And they ran out of gas. And they disappeared. And it's one of those thoughts is this. It's like, man, I can't believe they were one of the most excited people. And they just jumped in and they ran and they took off. But now where are they? And what God showed me is, guess what? They served their purpose for what they were there for. And it was time for them to move to somewhere else and to be the rabbit there too. Because they bring the excitement, they draw it in, and they push everybody else forward. And then you have those that are long-distance runners. You know, have you ever been to a track meet? Anybody in here this morning? You been to a track meet? I know y'all went to go watch the 2 mile, right? Nobody goes to watch the 2 mile. Everybody go watch the sprints because they're exciting, right? You know the beautiful thing about sprints? I don't have to look at the people beside me, either side. They take on what Paul says here, the prize is right in front of me. And so I'm going to get on this race, and I'm running as fast as I can to that prize. Why? So that I can obtain it. And guys, our church, there's also another. There's the rabbits, and then there's those who are sprinters. They're going to stick with it. They're going to keep going. They're going to train. They're going to do all the right things, which the rabbits, guess what? They train. They do everything just the same, but they realize, guess what? You're going to push the group, and then your task is done. Your sprinters push everyone. Because of what I found out in every race, those typically who won and lost were within hundreds or tenths of a second. But they all were in it together. They're all completing this thing together. Long distance runners are where I was. And I tell you, the thing that worked for me when I was running with other people is find somebody that ran at your pace or maybe a little bit faster than you. Why? Because I could run with them. At times on a windy day, we would rotate who was in front, who was in back to cut the wind off of each other so that you could go further distances. And guess what? That's another beautiful aspect of people in your church. They're going to be those with you for the long haul who are going to say, you know what? Guess what? I need to take the lead for a little while. Step in behind me and take the drag out of your life and just take that breather. Keep it coming. Keep it coming because guess what? I'm going to have the same thing here in just a little bit. And you're going to have to take and cut that drag of wind on me too. We're in this thing together. So we see these beautiful things. And so Paul says, I'm going to invest my life for this moment when I cross that finish line. And he realizes, guess what? I know when I get to the finish line that Jesus is going to be there. And my reward is just getting to spend the rest of my life praising him. I don't know about you. I don't need a trophy. I don't need a mansion. I don't need anything that this world's going to paint. I just want him. And people have asked me, you know, Corey, how can you stay excited all the time? How can you keep pressing forward? How and when things are good, when things are bad, how do you just keep going forward? And the truth is this, you know what? I know who I was. I know what I still struggle with. And I know, guess what? Difficulties are coming. But Jesus changed my life. And the truth is, I've never gotten over that. How do we get through the difficult times? Remember what you were saved from. Right? We all have a story. We've all got one. How am I living this journey? What am I doing with it? Paul says, you know what, man, I'm running this race. I'm doing everything that I can. I'm pressing forward. Everyone's living for this little tiny red spot in our lives, and no one is thinking about the millions and millions and eternity that follows past it. Paul's saying, guess what? There's more to come than just this life. So how can I endure the torture? How can I endure the hardships? How can I endure all these things that I've gone through? He's been shipwrecked multiple times. He was bit by a snake. He went without food. He'd been beat. He'd been placed in stocks. He did all of these things, all the while praising the name of Jesus. And how did he do those things? Because he said, there's something on the end waiting. How can we endure those same things? It's not by lowering our head and saying, man, God, where are you right now? What's happening? I've prayed. You just don't seem like you're there. I rejoice in the testimony sharing about cancer. Here's the reality. Here's a good question I think we can ask. Could God have stopped that? Yep. But that was her journey. You know why? Because she just told a story that brought glory to him because of her journey. And it wasn't about her. Guys, that's why God allows us to go through these things. And good, bad, ugly, he allows us to go through these things because at the end of it, it exalts and magnifies the name of Jesus. I think the beautiful thing we see in the life of Paul, too, is he says, I'm running this race and I'm not always doing this. That gets you in trouble. This race that he's in, he's focused on something that's ahead of him. And when I'm focused on what's ahead of me, I can't worry about what's behind me. Remember in your journey, the worthy cause of what we do is Christ in the end. Last thing this morning is just simply this. My life is defined by a blank. My life is defined by fill in the blank. What defines you? You know, the Bible tells us over and over and over and over our journey, our walk with him dictates really in the reality of what the rest of our life is going to be like. And you know, it's one of those things, you know, I can remember when my oldest son left for college, one of the hardest times for me as a dad. And here's one of those things. My time to invest in him as a dad while he's under my care is over. It's the one of the weird things. We're driving home. I'm crying. My wife's fine. She's like, dude, what's wrong with you? I'm his dad, and it's all over. She's like, he didn't die. We took him to college. It's all good. One of the hardest things, my oldest is married now. He married Shelby. I finally got a daughter. I got it the way that is the best way to go. So if you got all boys, amen. Marry one. Woo! Amen. It's the best way to go. So I'm just kidding. I'm so thankful. I always wanted a daughter, and so I got a daughter. But here's one of the things. One of the hardest things I had that day, too, is realizing truly my job of parenting was over. Until God said, guess what? Just because you're married, it doesn't end. The way you lead changes. But the leading isn't over. And so I then take those truths into my life and say, you know what? My life is defined by fill in the blank. How I lead. Do I lead well? Truth of the matter is this. My life is defined by Jesus. That blank, if you can put anything else outside of him, I've got the wrong person maybe sitting on top. Because in the end of this thing, right, we live this life. We live our red speck on this rope, which everything follows is eternity. So how I live this life, guess what? It's going to reflect what I believe about the rest of this rope. So my life should be defined by the one who gave me this life. I love the testimony. I'm just excited about life. And because I'm living, life is good. There's so much truth we can take from kids, guys. That was genuine because it's true. God gave us this life. Guess what? to not bless us just so we could bless others. Our lives are to be a reflection of Him, to exalt Him, not us. So how is my life defined today? When it comes to being truly honest about my life, does my life make a difference? Do people see Christ in my life? It's one of those things. I know it's been a saying that's been around for a long time, but you know what? The Bible tells us that we're supposed to consistently live a life and a testimony for Jesus Christ, and if necessary, use words. Because people who don't read their Bible read you who says they read their Bible. Right? So what do they see? And will you be honest with yourself this morning? During this holiday season, what am I celebrating? We focus a lot of time during this year, as I said before, around a Christmas tree. And there's nothing wrong with it, as long as I don't lose focus of the other tree and the purpose of why we celebrate this holiday. So when you are given the opportunity to share what you believe about Christmas, think through what you're going to tell somebody. When people ask you about your life and your testimony, think about what you're going to tell them. When I evaluate my dash, what do you want to tell them? My wife and I have talked long and hard about if one of us passes before the other, how this thing's going to play out at a funeral. And you're like, dude, you're young. Here's the truth. I've buried a lot of young people. Be prepared. We're not guaranteed another breath. What is our life going to teach people? And here's the thing. You know, my wife says, we don't want a sad, somber experience, which I understand that how we grieve with things is different for a lot of people. I want a celebration because guess what? That body's not there. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Here's the truth. Guess what? Don't mourn that. Rejoice because where I'm at. We don't want sad songs. We want a worship service. Brittany, I'd take you doing my funeral right now. Because the song goes on and on. And the worship goes on and on. So what am I doing with my dash? God's given me this dash. And if I'm honest with myself and I'm transparent with myself, it tells a story. And here's the thing. If you came here today and you said, man, you've talked about Jesus, you've talked about the life being changed because of what God has done for you. And from what I kind of got from hands earlier, we're a lot of home folk here. This is most primarily church. But here's what I can tell you. There may be one of you here today who's here. You've been a part of the church for a long time, but you're not His. You say, man, that's harsh because I've been there. It took a missionary who came and preached a message about playing a game that God used to finally crush my heart. And my biggest fear is, what are other people going to say? I was active in the church. I was teaching Sunday school class. And I was so prideful to care what somebody else thought than what Jesus thought. I cared more about this than I cared about the rest. If that's you this morning, I encourage you. You know what? Nobody's going to judge you. Nobody's going to make fun of you. Nobody's going to go, look at them going up there. No, we're going to rejoice because that's what the angels in heaven do when one comes to know Jesus, is they celebrate, they rejoice. It's an exciting time. Now, if you came here today also, and here's the thing, how are you living your dash? You say, you know what? I know without a shadow of a doubt, I am God's child. I am His, as the passage said. But you know what? I'm struggling. I've got areas in my life maybe that I'm caught up in a sin that is maybe just totally defeating my life right now. I don't feel like I'm productive. Maybe I'm not even struggling with that. Maybe I just come in and I've got a bad attitude. Maybe it's because I'm not getting the things I feel I deserve. And maybe you come in here today and you say, you know what, man, I'm walking on clouds. It's like my feet aren't even touching the ground. I feel I'm that close to God right now. Man, if that's you today, wrap a brother or sister up today and pour it into them. So what I want to leave you here today is just this. How am I living my dash? Wherever you are, if you're not a child of God, change your dash today. And if you say, man, I'm just struggling, change the dash today. And if things are going great, man, continue to change your dash today. Let's pray and I'll hand it off. God, I thank you so much for your goodness. I thank you so much for Jesus. I thank you that we can stand here today and to proclaim that he is our King, that he is our God. Why? Because the tomb is empty and he sits on a throne. God, we can rejoice in that. Lord, there's so many other faith systems that are out there that they go to a tomb to visit their proclaimed God. But the beautiful sign that rests upon the spot where they believe Jesus was buried says, this tomb is empty. And man, maybe we came in today empty. Maybe we came in today hard. May we cling to the truths of that tomb. May we claim who Jesus is over anything Satan tries to throw our way today. And if I'm fighting about, should I give my life to Christ or not? Do I need to clean myself up a little bit more? What do I need to do? Here's the truth. Give in to the Holy Spirit's drawing. Receive that free gift of salvation. It costs you nothing. There's no getting cleaned up. There's no getting prettied up, fancied up. Jesus meets us right where we are in our mess. God, we just give you this time. Lord, you've given us this dash, and Lord, may we make this dash much about you and eliminate ourselves from that. Lord, put us back in your rightful place on that throne and remove ourselves that you would truly be glorified. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215. Or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.